with the thought in mind of Eric teaching the perspectives, he really wanted me to do the same thing. And I go, but I didn't get a sabbatical, you know. But the thought is, the perspective of what's the future for us? What are our hopes and aspirations for the Ellicott campus, for this body of believers? What would God want us to really focus on over the years to come? I know in the time that I will be here as the campus pastor, as a church pastor, the thought is this: I never want us to stop celebrating Christ. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. That's what it's all about, every step of the way. And so that's what the Lord has laid on my heart, to consider what the future holds. You know, and I look at, you know, my time here, should the Lord tarry, or should the Lord tarry to take me home, will probably be about 4 years. And I know that panics some people, especially my wife. She doesn't want me to retire. But I will be in my 70s at that time, and I think it would be a good time to kind of step back a little bit. But celebrating Christ is something, it doesn't matter what stage or season of life we're in, it's something that is solidly built upon Him and that brings Him the most glory. So this morning, as we consider celebrating Christ, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this time that we can gather together. Lord, I pray your hand of blessing upon this time. And Lord, I pray that there would be clarity of thought with me, and that your Spirit would have free reign in all of our lives, and that your word would go forth powerfully, that living two-edged sword that has been reminded of us in the book of Hebrews itself. Lord, that your Spirit would have free reign in each of our hearts and minds for your glory and your glory alone. Father, change us where change is needed. Grow us where growth is needed. Father, reveal yourself in a profound and wonderful way. Father God, we thank you again for all of your love and goodness. We thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start with a little bit ahead of verse 11, because as we want to celebrate Christ, I find five things in this passage that we can truly celebrate Christ. And you and I need to be committed to a life of celebrating Christ every day, every moment of every day. As we look at the first portion, I'm going to invite you to start with verse 9 and read with me down through verse 18. Notice what it says. Verse 9 says, "And when he said, Behold, I have come to do your will." Now, this is Christ, O God. He takes away the first, that is the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that he may establish the second covenant in his blood. My paraphrase. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." He is laying the groundwork that the sacrifice of Christ is far superior than anything that was given in the Old Testament. And he is going to reveal that to it. It could be the fact that we are to celebrate his love. It could be the fact that we are to celebrate his salvation that he brings. It could be that we are celebrating his grace and mercy. And all of those things are going to be revealed in this passage. But the thing that captures all of those things, especially with the thought of sanctification, literally being set apart from the world, setting to God, total 90 degree angle in life, totally set apart, 180 degrees, for God. Notice what it says. "And every high priest," this is talking about the Old Testament tabernacle, Every high priest, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. And that's what they did. People would sin, and they knew, depending on their sin, what sacrifice they were to bring. They would bring it, and the priest would do the sacrifices, and that blood sacrifice would cover that sin for a period of time until either they sinned again or if it was a yearly thing. And that's what it would do, but it wouldn't remove the sin. But this man, Jesus Christ, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting until the enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he perfected forever those who are being sanctified, or completed us forever, those who are being set apart to God. Literally, as I look at this, we ought to celebrate forgiveness. Celebrate it. I mean, God, as the songs that we sang this morning, God did not need to provide that kind of sacrifice so you and I could have the forgiveness of sins. I'll never forget as an adult, and I'm struggling with being presented Christ. I never went to church much as a kid or as a young adult. And, you know, my thinkings of God were a couple of, you know, for many of you that you know that, well, if he is, he doesn't care about me kind of thinking from time to time, as well as if he is really there, he has forgotten about me, rather than understanding how much he loves me in his grace and mercy. And somebody came to me one time when I was thinking about, and they were sharing with me Christ, and he simply said, "Rich, why don't you trust Christ?" And I said, "Why do I need to? I'm okay. You know, all in all, I'm not a bad person. You know, I haven't killed anybody." And he challenged me with this. He said, "Rich, if we could all stand before God in our own self and present ourselves, why did Christ have to come?" You know, the standard always has to be him, God, his holiness, and what will remove sin in our lives if you, Rich Bailey, truly believe you're a sinner. And by then I realized, yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But somehow I thought that gap could be bridged by me just being sometimes an okay dude. And it didn't work. You know, and it wouldn't work. It won't work for you. It wouldn't work for me. And so celebrating forgiveness, you know, it becomes twofold. You know, he takes it away forever. Notice what it says in verse 15. It says, "But the Holy Spirit will witness to us, for after he has said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of these sins, there is no longer an offering for sin." His sacrifice was sufficient once for all. Celebrating. You know, we know in the Gospel of John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit came to convict of sin. He also came to convict of righteousness. He also came to convict of judgment. Those three things. And what the gentleman wanted me to see is that the fact that I needed forgiveness, I needed to be able to stand before God righteously, and I could never stand there in righteousness in my own righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I know that today because God's word tells me that. But Christ's righteousness, the very moment that I repented of my sin and I trusted Christ as Savior, his righteousness is now put to my account. And so God sees me through the righteousness of his holy Son. Celebrate forgiveness. Celebrate it. I don't know about you, but I have also struggled with the area and the thought of forgiving others, you know, and allowing it to really develop into a root of bitterness. And, you know, only thinking about what I need to do to gain a little revenge with people. Now, maybe you've never experienced that. I know I have. You know, and it is only really grasping the wonder of God's love, grace, and mercy through the forgiveness, the shed blood of Christ, that I now know how to forgive others unconditionally the way Christ forgave me. Celebrate forgiveness. When you and I truly celebrate forgiveness, we are celebrating everything we have in Christ. And so if this church is to prosper, if this church is going to continue, if this church is going to grow, if this church is going to bring honor and glory to God, you and I need to celebrate Christ. And it can't be something that's a one-day-a-week thing. It needs to be a daily walk, a daily time of where we see that God urgently wants to not only meet our inner needs for his glory, but he urgently wants us to celebrate him in front of others. And I know that in America today, that's becoming a little unpopular. But celebrate him. You know, when I come back from Peru, I'm going to kind of hit the ground running. You know, when I start thinking of celebrations in our day and age, one of the greatest celebrations that I participate in is a wedding. You know, being there and having the honor to unite a couple in the Lord, in marriage, is truly exciting. It, for me, is a genuine celebration. And I just love that. And when I get back, I have the joy of celebrating twice, once on Friday evening and once on Saturday morning with two different couples. You know, and to me, that's just, wow. God, you've asked me to do this, and I get to do it in the same weekend just to have the joy and the blessing of representing you. You know, within that audience, I'm sure both times there will be people there who have never heard about Christ, maybe never thought about Christ, maybe even at the point, yeah, tell me what you will about Christ. It's okay, yawn, yawn. But that's okay. It's a celebration. You know, it's a celebration. And I intentionally chose to meet with these last two couples in a public place, in a restaurant, just to discuss Christ with them. Yeah, it is fun talking about Christ and wanting lives that are built upon it. So celebrate forgiveness means we're celebrating everything we have in Christ. And for this church to continue, that is where we need to be. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Keep your finger right there, but go back with me to Acts chapter 3. Notice how Luke pens these words. Now, this is the teaching and the preaching at Solomon's portico, and Peter and John, and they all run together, and they're greatly amazed, and Peter sees it, and he begins teaching. And he tells them how they had been a part of crucifying Christ. Now, in chapter 3, if you look at verse 14 and following, notice what he says. He says, "But you denied the Holy One and the just, Jesus Christ, and asked for a murderer to be given to you, and that was granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, which we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom we see and know. Yes, the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness and presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, if you will, verse 19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, you'll be forgiven, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Ah, man, times of refreshment. You know, it's been super stinking hot around. You know, refreshment is always good. But we get that in our relationship with Christ, celebrating his forgiveness and the wonder of it. When Diane and I went to Israel, I had the joy of sharing that story with a whole bunch of people who did not know Christ as Savior. They gave me this joyous time. How would you like to do the... the sermon here, and I go, oh, yeah, what a joy, you know, and to be able to share, celebrate forgiveness. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, we ought to celebrate something else. Look at verses 19 and following. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest now by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. I love that. No more having to go to a priest. The veil has been torn. Because of the blood of Christ, you and I have direct access to God. So you and I need to celebrate access. You know, you and I need to be a praying people. You and I need to be a people that just realize how valuable Christ's sacrifice is. It goes way beyond the salvation that we have in him and the wonders of forgiveness. Now we have an opportunity to commune with God, where we can talk to him personally. We can listen for his still small voice. You know, in our busy times and busy days, you know, sometimes that's challenging for us to do. But that's what God would want us to do, so that he hears us. Does he know my heart already? Yeah. But does he love for me to get down on my face before him and share it with him? Absolutely. You know, to have the courage to come before our great God, realizing we are entering his presence by the blood of Christ, new and living and valuable, completely given for us, and to be able to do it consistently, where we are dedicated to it, where we are committed in such a way that it radically makes a difference. I know many of you have only read this in a history book now, but it happened in some of our lifetime. It is when President Reagan got shot by John Hinckley. His daughter went on to write a book, and it was only through that book that I remember or hearing that the bullet that he used was supposed to be a devastator bullet. That's a bullet that's supposed to explode. Now that bullet came within a quarter inch of his heart. You know? And she's writing a book, you know. Dad's guardian angel was holding that, not allowing it to explode, while the doctors took it out, and it did not explode. You know, and yet, within herself, her anger towards John Hinckley was huge. And then she wrote this. The following day, my father said he knew his physical healing would be directly dependent upon his ability to forgive John Hinckley. By showing forgiveness, it would be the key to everything, including his physical health, his healing. He, my dad, gave me the example of Christ-like thinking and biblical prayer, coming boldly before the throne of grace. You know? Earnestly praying for Dad, that Dad would survive. I'm sure at the time of the surgery and everything else, she had no idea that it was a devastator bullet. You know, that was something we learned later. You know, but to understand what forgiveness is and what it means to enter. Now, you and I, entering the Holy of Holies, when trauma hits, probably becomes a lot easier than when we are living more comfortably. If we're honest, And the question is, then, how devoted, if we're going to celebrate forgiveness and we're going to celebrate access, you and I need to be consistently devoted to prayer, coming boldly before our great God, allowing him. Wow, if you and I are people of prayer, what impact, how God could use us dynamically in these communities, in people's lives, being spiritually sensitive to needs. I'll never forget being on my knees in my office and finishing a time of prayer and coming out, and I thought I heard a ruckus out in the parking lot, and a couple comes in. And, "Hi, Pastor, how are you?" And, you know, I said, "Hi, how are you? How are you doing?" You know, and, "Oh, yeah, everything's great. Everything's fine," you know. And something's up. And after services, you know, I gathered them in a corner, and I said, "Hey, how are you really doing?" And they looked at each other, and they smiled, and they gritted their teeth. "No, everything's fine." And I said, "Are you sure?" You know, and I began praying for them, but they weren't at a point where they wanted to talk about anything. Monday night, I get a phone call about 9 o'clock, and one of them, the wife, is going before a judge because she tried to run over her husband with the car. Everything wasn't okay. You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, and so I actually went. And it was about 11 o'clock by the time the judge got to their moment. And they're looking back, and they see me in the back of the room. And the judge goes, "What are you looking at?" And he sheepishly goes, "My pastor." "Your pastor's here?" "Yeah." He said, "Good." And he took him into a side room and had them make some commitments with him to come out and talk to me now. But spiritual discernment, it only comes through being forgiven, the shed blood of Christ, and then celebrating the access, going boldly before the throne. Notice the third thing that we can celebrate. Look at verses 21 and 22. "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You and I can also celebrate the nearness of God. God is always near. He is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can have full assurance that in that nearness, he cares, he hears, he has a given devotion to us. His faithfulness will never fail. He wants us to enjoy this relationship. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't go on missions trips. He doesn't go far away. And you and I can celebrate nearness. You know what that develops? Fellowship. When you and I walk near to Christ, people enjoy being near to us. Does that make sense? Now, I know we can be shy. Some of us are very outgoing. And we're everything in between. But even the shyest of people, if they walk closely, celebrating forgiveness, celebrating Christ, celebrating his love, grace, and mercy, celebrating prayer, access to him, and celebrating the fact that he is always near, they have a countenance that's different. They have a smile and a joy in their heart and lives that just comes whoop, right out at you. And is so inviting to want to go talk to them. And it just blossoms fellowship. And I know that scares the socks off of about 50% of the guys in here, if not more. Because relationship beyond my wife, help, no. But God wants us to have them in a real way. I mean, women are more relational. Let's be honest. That's true. But when you and I celebrate the nearness of Christ, it is a joy to be near others. You can talk about common things. you can talk about Christ. It doesn't have to always be about the Broncos. Yeah, I hope Casey Keenum does a great job. 8-8 would be happy for me. I know for some of you, Super Bowl or nothing. But how do you celebrate? What do you always talk about? How stinking hot it is? How smoky it is because of the forest fires? Oh, God, bring the rain. Or can you talk about, yeah, God is so good. God is so awesome. You know what he did? I was reading. I was so blessed by. Eric chose to do Psalm 23 on Wednesday night, his first night back. He chose not to jump into Revelation. Oh, what a wimp. But he did Psalm 23, and beautiful psalm. Reminders of great and wonderful things. And when he got, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I could remember person after person after person that I saw walk through different kinds of brokenness, and God walk with them, and such a blessing they were to me in life, and such a growth in life. And such a fun thing to talk about. God meets people's needs no matter how difficult they are. And you and I need to be able to do that through the nearness of Christ. What difference will it make if people walk in here and see that we actually like each other and really enjoy? The greatest way that that happens is to celebrate the nearness of Christ by being near to him. You and I consistently, daily, moment by moment, walking in such a way that we celebrate that wonderful truth to where we can draw near with a true assurance because we are forgiven, having our conscience and our body washed with the pure water of the Word so that we can grow in him. Look at the fourth thing. Not only are we to celebrate forgiveness, celebrate access, and celebrate nearness, but notice the fourth thing. Look at verse 23 with me. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Celebrate hope. Celebrate hope. The hope that we have in Christ. The reality that life doesn't end here. There is an eternity. You know, and your life and my life here is just a vapor. Easily seen for a moment, but gone, you know, and the rest is eternity, and the hope of eternity that we have, the reality that we will, by his faithfulness, his steadfastness, we will have this relationship forever, where we get to sing to him. I marvel at that. Now, I have a rotten voice some days. Today was one of those days. It cracked so many times as I was trying to sing, I was laughing at myself. But I'm thinking, God, I hope you know my heart is with you. You know, but I just love singing and rejoicing in who he is. And there, I'm quite convinced my voice won't crack. And I'll be able to do it because of the righteousness of Christ being put to my account. And celebrating others who have gone on before. Celebrating with them and rejoicing with them. You know, and the joy that we have, real hope. We live in a culture and a time where there's so many that have no hope. And you and I have it all given to us through this beautiful book. That's why we're committed through teaching it verse by verse by verse, wanting people to get a better understanding of it so that we can grow in him together. Have a greater understanding of him together, wanting to glorify him together, literally carrying out the thought of be a disciple, make disciples, send disciples, the Darwin and Annies of the world. Wanting to see that we can be sent even into our own neighborhoods. So are we going to celebrate forgiveness? If you and I stop there and don't deliberately and intentionally pursue the other ones, our life will be hollow. And I know that for a fact because I have lived that way in the past. Without hope, though all the hope was given to me in Christ. You know, the reality of the resurrection from the dead is real. That's hope, especially for those who are in Christ. In our last congregation, we had a sweet gal. Her name is Susan Beer. And she came through in November, and I could just tell by her face, you know, something's up. You know, you okay? And yeah, I'm okay. And she was a pianist. She was also a gal that would put together all the music. I'd give her my teaching schedule and the themes, and she'd put together the music for every service. And she, oh, wow, she would be on her face before God, and it would just flow so wonderfully and so joyously in such a perfect way. And January comes, and then she opened up. She was having some physical things, and she ended up having cancer. For the next 5 years, we watched a woman battle the worst of battles. And I can tell you honestly and sincerely, this woman would come in still with a bright smile on her face in pain and say, I live in a win-win situation. God can heal me and show off and do a great job, and he would get all the glory and all the miracle and everything else. But if he chooses to take me home, guess what? That's a win as well. Oh, do I want to see more grandkids? Absolutely. Do I want to spend more time with my husband? Absolutely. But that's what this is all about, hope. She had a real hope, and it came so through. And she continued to bless us with music right up until about 6 months before the end. Her heart just exploded every day. And I'll tell you, it would often be in tears that Diane and I have always chosen to sit near the front like we do here. That she would be in front of me playing, and I could tell that she was uncomfortable physically, but she was just playing her heart out for her God in a wonderful way. Celebrating hope. She did it by continuing doing those things that God had blessed her in and being the mom and wife and grandma that she was, and as well as serving in the church. Celebrating hope, it will take real. It will develop in our souls, and it will be seen in our lives. Last but not least is maybe even one of the most challenging. Look at verses 24 and 25. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Excuse me. Maybe the smart water will work. This is awkward with a handheld. Excuse me. But as we look at those, that considering, that word, Greek word there is really provoking and prodding one another. I liken it to, and if you haven't worked on a cattle farm and use a cattle prod, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But I have, and I know what they are, and I have used them, and I understand them and how well they work to get an animal to do what you want it to do. And it's just, you know, kind of thing. For them, it's a little bit more. But, you know, that's what that means. And so in my life to you as pastor is to kind of prod. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. But to constantly encourage you to love and good works. To constantly encourage you that God wants to use you in a profound way for his glory. And if it's here as a part of this congregation, amen. You know, if you want to be an integral part of the family of God, that kind of connectiveness ought to be revealed. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, as so much more as we see the day approaching. Celebrate purpose. Celebrate purpose. God didn't just want to save us. God earnestly, passionately wants to use us. He wants our lives to bring glory to Him. Celebrating. Yeah, next in a couple of weekends, I get to celebrate with a couple of couples. Something profound and wonderful. Yeah. As they share their vows before a holy God. You know, I have asked my son-in-laws, when they came to ask me for one of my daughter's hands in marriage, I have asked them this question. How is marrying my daughter going to help you serve God better? I believe all three of them went, and that's okay. I know they were in love with my daughter. But I wanted them to see that God cares more about that. Don't leave here. Don't leave. Please don't leave here today. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, if you are in Christ, I want you to hear this solidly deep in your heart. God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you profoundly to glorify Him. And it doesn't matter what season we're in. That thought never changes of how God will use us. What we do might change. Hey, at some point, I might not have the energy to be a full-time pastor anymore. And I might want to cut back. Just a few hours. Because I'm a little older. That's okay. He still wants to use me. Dick. Calvary. Clary. He was a pastor that I knew. His wife, his mom is dying of cancer. And they said that it's reemerged again for the fourth time, and there's nothing we can really do. We do have an experimental drug that we could try, but it's very expensive and it'll be very painful. And so Dick went to mom and said, because mom knew the Lord, said, nah, let's not bother. And she said, Dick, let me pray about it. So she did. She looked at Dick and said, I know you don't agree with this, but I'm going to try it. So into the hospital she went. She went through the treatments, and it was very painful. And she went home to be with the Lord in about 3 weeks. And Dick was a little frustrated. Dick had the joy of doing mom's funeral. He presented the gospel of Christ because mom loved the Lord, and that's what she wanted. And after it was all done, this young gal comes up to him and said, your mom was amazing. I normally work in the maternity ward, but there was a great need up on the cancer ward. So I went up, and I took care of your mom for 12 hours. And Dick goes, I remember that. And you could just tell when you walked into the room, there's something different about this woman. Celebrating forgiveness, celebrating access, celebrating nearness, celebrating purpose, and I skipped the one I know. And she goes, now I know why. And I want to know Christ as my Savior. tell you, happiness blooms in the heart of a son that was frustrated with a mom putting herself through something, but now he knew, she knew something that he did not, that God still had a plan and a purpose for her life. Oh, folks, don't leave here without understanding. If you are in Christ, he wants to use you, and he will if we will let him. He gifts us, he equips us, he gives us the strength to, even in the midst of the worst. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. Hopefully you're in Christ. If not, let today be the day that you just trust Christ as Savior. He died for you. His blood. All you got to do is have the boldness to realize you're a sinner separated from a holy God and by faith enter into this awesome, adventurous relationship with the true and living God of the universe. And draw near. Have that access. Have that hope. Let it be real. And what a difference it will make in your life. For the rest of us, hey, that's what a church is all about. Should I leave this place for whatever reason, let it be a place where we truly celebrate Christ and live authentically. Let's stand as the worship team comes. That you would guide and direct in a profound way. Father, you know our hearts, inside and out. Father, might we really present ourselves before you in a profound way, a new and living way, through the shed blood of the Lamb. Grow us and use us for your glory and your glory alone. Let us be a people that are disciples. Passionately committed to making disciples, wanting to be disciples in our communities and sending disciples out for your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.